I'd like to call the September 8th City of Columbia Planning and Zoning Commission to order. And any changes to the agenda?
No, there are not, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, sir. Everyone received your minutes from August 18th regular meeting. Were there any changes or modifications needed to those regular meeting notes? I see none. Can I have a motion or... Very good.
I move to accept those presented as presented.
Second.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Stanton. Do we need to do a roll call?
Let's do a roll call.
Thank you, Ms. Secretary. May I have a roll call, please?
Ms. Burns.
Here.
I'm here. Mr. Harder.
Here.
Mr. McMahon.
Present.
Mr. Stanton.
Here.
Mr. Strotman.
Yes.
Ms. Rushing.
Here.
Ms. Russell. Mr. Toohey.
Here.
We have 8 present. We have a quorum.
Thank you. We looks like we have a... yes, we're going to the minutes. April 18th, need to make a... We moved, so now we'll... Thumbs up. Everyone do a thumbs up. Do I see any? Yes, everybody's good on that. So we've approved the minutes. We have a tabling request, case 16-86, a request by Crockett Engineering on behalf of Ridgemont Development, LLC, seeking approval to rezone approximately 12.34 acres from R1 to PDU 2.9 and approval of a development plan to be known as Ridgemont Park. The 12.34-acre subject site is located at the east end of Ridgefield Road, lying south of Ridgemont Road. Ridgemont. The applicant requests that this item be tabled to the September 22nd commission meeting. Staff, do we have any comments?
We do not. You have had provided for you in your packet an email from Crockett Engineering requesting the tabling. They are seeking to continue to resolve some outstanding plan review comments, as well as trying to address some neighborhood-related issues as well prior to being prepared to bring the project forward. We are supportive of the request to table.
Thank you, staff. As our normal practice, if there's anyone in the audience that came here for this item that would like to speak on it, Obviously, we would suggest that you come back on the September 22nd meeting so that we could hear from you at that time during the discussion on that project. But you're also welcome to come tonight if you came specifically for that event. If not, we'll see you on the 22nd. Okay. Do we have a motion and a second on tabling this case?
I move to table case 16-86, a request by Crockett Engineering on behalf of Ridgemont Development, LLC.
Mrs. Burns, thank you for that motion. Do we have a
second?
Second.
Ms. Rushing seconds that motion. We have a motion that has been made and approved. A second. Can we have a roll call, please?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Case 16-86, Ms. Burns.
Yes.
I vote yes. Mr. Harder.
Yes.
Mr. Stanton.
Yes.
Mr. McMahon.
Yes.
Mr. Strotman.
Yes.
Ms. Russell. Ms. Rushing.
Yes.
Mr. Toohey.
Yes.
We have 8 approving. Motion carries.
Thank you, Ms. Lowe. That item would be carried over to September 22nd. Moving on to our first subdivision case, case 16-161, a request by EE-LLC, the owner, for a one-lot final plat to be known as Ballou's Subdivision Plat 2 and an associated variance to section 25-43, the street.
Hey, Mr. Chairman, the links on here are not working when we click on the agenda items.
Oh, on your. Has anybody opened up theirs?
I cannot open the links either.
I couldn't either, but I don't need to.
May not be operator error this time. We'll get started in just a second.
Go on, Drive.
Website's down there.
Thank you all for your patience.
We're having some internal internet problem, I believe.
Try it again.
Okay.
I'm on data. I'm not on the Wi-Fi.
Okay. Well, we're gonna.
I get to go.
Tim said he was gonna make copies,
yeah.
Or. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
You apparently are having an internet issue internally within City Hall this evening. We have one of two options. We can either move forward with the PowerPoint presentations that we have, which summarize to some extent the information that you need while you do not have the full staff report, or if you would like, we can make some hard copies for you all this evening if that is what your preference is.
Okay. Do we have my preference would be to move forward, continue on, and then if we get on a topic or something that is a little more technical or we need more information, then we can either ask for copies or maybe by then the internet's working.
We will hope, or there will be some hard copies coming down. So,
we'll continue on.
All right. I'd like to introduce then case number 16-161. We apologize for the technical difficulty.
Okay, so case 16-161 again. A request by EELSC owner for a one final plat to be known as Ballou's Subdivision Plat 2 and an associate variance to section 25-43 street widths of the subdivision regulations. The 1.0-acre subject site is located on the south side of Business Loop 70 and east side of 7th Street and is addressed 708 East Business Loop 70 and 1200 North 7th Street. May we have a staff report, please?
Yes, you may, Chairman. And I apologize. The acreage referenced within the description you just read is about 0.4 of an acre off. It is a 1.48-acre site. The original description was made prior to the addition of the added land that is shown here on the graphic in front of you. So this is a 1.4-acre tract of land that we are looking at rezoning or platting. I apologize, platting. It is located at the southwest corner of the Business Loop and 7th Street, currently occupied by the Dairy Queen that is on the corner of 7th and the Business Loop, the old Sonic drive-through former nursery. And then the building in the southern portion of this graphic is the existing Boys and Girls Club, which is proposing to expand on the old nursery property, which was the old Sonic building, as a single lot. This is a two-lot replat, so basically the lot that the Boys and Girls Club would occupy would be of the old nursery. Oops, I apologize. Of the old nursery, and then their existing site where they are currently improved, with the Dairy Queen being on its own platted lot in the future. We do have a variance request associated with this, as you indicated. It is a variance from the right-of-way standards for the Business Loop. Currently, the required half-width of the Business Loop is a 53-foot minimum half-width, and the applicant is asking for a 6-foot variance as it relates to that requirement due to the design of the expanded Boys and Girls Club addition that will be on the particular northern property for the purposes of a full-scale or a full-size basketball facility. As well, so that would be, and they are asking for that for the entire roadway frontage on the Business Loop, from 7th Street all the way back across the full site's frontage. This is an oblique aerial of the property and its development. As you can see today, the nursery is no longer in operation, and the Dairy Queen is a fully functional drive-through restaurant. Visually, this is looking from 7th Street to the east on the top picture, looking east on the Business Loop. Noticing 7th Street in the very far right-hand corner of that top picture. And then in the lower picture, you will notice the former Wilson's Nursery and then the secondary driveway entrance that is coming into the Dairy Queen, or the drive out for the drive-through itself there in the lower left-hand corner. The Wilson's driveway cuts would be eliminated as a part of this redevelopment of the site. This is a copy of the plat in the left-hand side of this slide, and the discussion associated with this is generally we are consolidating lots here, and that's the whole purpose behind the platting action, is to create one larger lot for Boys and Girls Club, which would include the expansion of their existing facilities, and then to put the Dairy Queen on its own individually platted lot, which would be lot 16A, and the Boys and Girls Club would be on 15A. As indicated, there is a request for a 6-foot variance in the right-of-way along the frontage of Business Loop. That variance is essential in order to accommodate the proposed designed expansion for Boys and Girls Club on Lot 15A. However, based upon the analysis that we have conducted and the existing improvements on Lot 16A, which is the Dairy Queen, the requested variance is not necessary, and it does not create any adverse hardship to provide the full 53-foot half-width for the Business Loop along with the required corner radius at 7th Street. There is additional rationale to have a larger right-of-way at the corner. Our traffic engineers believe that it provides some additional opportunities for better and safer traffic movement leaving this particular intersection, and that would be the reason for staff's desire to have the actual right-of-way fully given on lot 16A, understanding, however, that lot 15A and the improvements that have been designed already on that, not realizing that we would need a full half-width or would be requiring a full half-width, are not necessarily needed on the lot 15A itself. So staff recommends that we approve the right-of-way variance along lot 15A, given the nature of the improvement and it not being on the corner, in accordance to what our traffic engineers are recommending as a need for tapering in the right-of-way. The extension of the reduced right-of-way matches up with the property that is to the east, adjacent to the old Wilson's nursery site. There was already a notch, if you noticed. This basically does not go any further back than that. But 16A would come back the full width to the right-of-way of the additional 13 feet that we are that we would be requiring in order to bring it up to the half-width. So approval of the variance on 15A, denial of the variance on 16A, and then approval of the final plat subject to it being revised to show those two conditions, at least lot 16A's right-of-way being given in its full width, which would be the additional 13 and a half feet. And the corner truncation obviously being brought back as well at that point to match up with the new right-of-way. If you have any questions, I'll be more than happy to answer them.
Thank you, Mr. Zinner. Do we have any questions for Mr. Zinner? Ms. Burns?
Mr. Zinner, will this trigger any sidewalk considerations? I don't think there are sidewalks currently on these properties.
It would.
Okay. For 16 and 15 or just 15?
For both.
Thank you.
Yes, Ms. Rushing.
And I was wondering whether the building can't be moved back, moved south to accommodate more.
For Boys and Girls Club?
Yeah, the new building on 15A, they can't drop that south to allow more.
The design of the addition, and John Simon, not our building regulation supervisor John Simon, but John Simon, the architect with Simon Oswald, is here to speak to the design of the building. But what I do know of the building addition is it is to accommodate a full-scale or a full-size basketball facility, basketball court, and reducing the basketball court by the remaining expansion, which would be 7 feet, would result in that basketball facility being less than regulation size. And that is part of what the allocation of the money that has been identified for this particular project is gone toward, is to build a full-scale basketball facility inside the addition. So we are not, from a city staff perspective, since this 15A is not on the corner, as concerned, nor do we believe there is any need for any additional right-of-way beyond the common property line of 15A and 16A. And therefore, reducing the right-of-way along 15A is not an issue for us. Design of the building has already been completed, and it is ready basically to be permitted, short of having this platting action taken care of.
But this does eliminate the lot line there?
No. What you see here on the graphic in front of you, the dark lines that go north-south and east-west, that come through the middle of the property here. These are the two new lot lines that would be created to, in essence, have all of 15A with Boys and Girls Club and then 16A being delegated to the Dairy Queen site itself. Currently, the property line runs along east-west along the backside or the north side of the Boys and Girls Club parcel. And then this parcel is, in essence, a single individual lot that was at one point, it used to run east-west. So it was consolidated, and the development that you see today, the Sonic and then the Dairy Queen, were oriented to the business loop on what was previously east-west lots.
So there would be no setback requirement between the two buildings on 15A, is what I'm getting at.
That is correct. There is no, they will be connected, so they will be considered one building. And if, under the way that the code is currently written, if the platting was not brought forward to consolidate the lots for the purposes of just cleaning up the platting situation, the extension of the Boys and Girls Club onto the northern portion of what's shown here is Lot 15A, they would have built across the property line, which is still a permitted opportunity to be able to do that, to have it considered a legal one lot. Building, so they could add on to the existing Boys and Girls Club facility by just building over the property line, and that would be legal under our building code standards. Instead, they have chosen to basically consolidate the lot to make just one parcel for Boys and Girls and then basically one parcel for the Dairy Queen. And again, the right-of-way necessity, at least 6 feet, that matches up with the notch that you see here, and it's difficult to see it here, but there is a notch already that's offset on a portion of the Wilson's lot, and that carries out to the lot that line that would be here. So that 6 feet actually drops down. It carries that across, so it's an equal 6 feet, and then we take an additional seven and basically round the corner on the Dairy Queen lot. So it stair steps back towards 7th Street is what the final plat would look like if you choose to deny the requested variance. If you approve the variance, the plat you see here is what would be recorded with just a 6-foot addition to the road right-of-way in order to ensure that all of the frontage basically from the east lot line of what is the old Wilson's nursery site to 7th Street is at the same depth. Otherwise, if you deny the variance, it steps back on the corner.
Any more questions, Ms. Rushing? You. Is there any other additional questions for staff? I've got a question, Mr. Zinner. You mentioned that no hardship would result from the full right-of-way dedication along Lot 16A frontage. So will there be any parking loss than what there is today? Because one of your photos, it looked like the radius would take some parking potentially out.
I realize what you're saying, and I don't believe we are asking for the right of way. While we were asking for the right of way, the improvements would be non-conforming. They would be allowed to remain, and if we were to extend the right of way at any point, make any intersection improvements, it would be at that point that the non-conforming parking spaces would be removed, since they would be in our public right of way at that point. But we are, to my knowledge, we are not asking for any upgrades to the site to be made as a result of the dedication of the right-of-way. So what exists today would remain until and at such time that we make any additional improvements.
I understand that there'd be no improvements asked of the applicant as part of the approval of this. But in future, if the city wanted to improve that intersection, then the city would be responsible for constructing that new intersection.
That would be correct. Or if the site were to be redeveloped at any point, and to Ms. Burns's question, the Dairy Queen lot will likely not have sidewalk requirements associated with it, given the fact that there is no redevelopment occurring on that parcel, but the parcel to the east where we would be doing the extension of the Boys and Girls Club would likely have one because it's new construction along an arterial or collector.
Until such time that he came back to us, and then the sidewalks would be
would complete the entire sidewalk network. And again, this is part of the Business Loop CID, and part of that overall project, part of the CID is to try to increase connectivity, which sidewalk improvements at some point would likely be being looked at. So we are setting the site up to at least accommodate that at the future.
Thank you, Mr. Zinner. Any additional questions?
Can I follow up quickly? Director Zinner, Boys and Girls Club is in the CID?
In the parcels that are on the business loop are. So the Dairy Queen and then The Dairy Queen would be at some point possibly impacted by the CID's desire for increased connectivity, which if the sidewalk's not installed as a result of redevelopment or as a part of a city project, it may be funded through some CID capital investments that they may make along the corridor.
Okay. All right. That's I had a clarification to make. Thank you.
Our normal practice, even though this is not a public hearing, if there's anybody in the audience who would like to come forward and give us any information that would be relevant to this case, we would welcome that. Mr. Simon. As you come up, if you give us your name and address for the recorder, we'd appreciate it.
My name's John Simon with Simon Associates Architects, 210 Park Avenue is our office location. We're here in conjunction with preparing the documents for the Boys and Girls Club and trying to do some housekeeping with respect to these properties and just clean things up primarily. I think the response to the variance request for lot 16A was in part due to our understanding of the city's traffic engineer's indication that there's no need for the additional right-of-way. No improvements were scheduled that would be impacted as a result of the reduction in right-of-way, and the owner of the property simply would like to retain the additional property, obviously, where possible. I think it's important to represent that to the east, there are significant buildings right on the business loop that would preclude widening this roadway for a number of years. At such time as those improvements might be made, it's quite likely that this tract might come into the control of the Boys and Girls Club as well. There's a long-term lease associated with the Dairy Queen operation there. And it would just give us a better opportunity to make a more homogeneous configuration for any expansion that they might do in the future relative to this tract of ground. And that's why we thought it was significant to keep those two setback conditions in alignment. The L-shaped configuration of the Boys and Girls Club tract is unusual in so much as we have a front yard setback off 7th Street, and then we also have a front yard setback off of the business loop as well. So the building still is going to be back quite a distance from the curb line of the business loop, and yes, we are going to install sidewalks as a part of the improvements to that tract. And I'd be happy to answer any questions that I can.
And I guess you Ms. get Russian. To answer my question about... I'm just looking at what looks to me like where you plan to place your building, and there is space between the new building and the existing building, and so my question was whether you could drop down the new building to allow more right-of-way.
I think what's confusing in this representation is that's actually the Sonic building on the lot right now. The Boys and Girls Club addition will be contiguous to their existing facility, so you'll be able to walk from the south face of the existing building all the way to the north face of the new gymnasium.
Okay.
So this doesn't represent the addition in any respect right now. It's just what's existing on that property.
Any additional questions? Mr. McMahon.
Mr. Simon, good evening. The city's engaged in burying utilities and through CIP funds on the loop. Will you coordinate your sidewalk activity with that? Are you going to do it? They're going to get up again, or what's the plan there? Or do you know?
I don't know at this time. I know what the improvements are intended for the CID program there, but you know the intent is to install the sidewalks per city standards, and there'd be that opportunity to install any additional infrastructure and prior to our construction.
Okay, you're not currently in negotiations or coordination with the city for the activity.
We haven't submitted drawings for the project yet, and I suspect if that were to occur, it would be a part of that submittal process where Public Works would come out and say, we want to get these infrastructure elements in place, and certainly we'd be open to those improvements.
All right. Thank you.
Any additional questions? I see none. Thank you, Mr. Simon. Anyone else like to come forward to speak on this topic? I see none. Thank you. Commissioners, subdivision item, any comments, discussion? Would anybody like to, any follow-up questions, form a motion, discussion on the variances?
I tend to agree with staff. Staff's recommendations, I plan to support it in that way.
Mr. Stanton?
Would I'll you make a motion if
there
that's
we go.
What you're looking
Mrs.
for.
Burns, we'd appreciate that motion.
In case number 16-161, Ballou Subdivision, Plat 2, final plat, I'd like to recommend as per staff recommendation as far as the right-of-way approval for Lot 15A and denial for 16A.
Okay, thank you. And was there also the approval of the final plat?
And approval of the final plat also.
Part of the motion, thank you.
Second.
Mr. Stanton seconds that motion. Any comments or questions on the motion? With that, can we have a roll call, please, Ms. Lowe?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. So in case 16-161, Ms. Burns?
Yes.
I vote yes. Mr. Harder?
Yes.
Mr. McMahon?
Yes.
Mr. Stanton?
Yes.
Mr. Strotman?
Yes.
Ms. Rushing?
Yes.
Mr. Toohey?
Yes.
8 approvals. Recommendation for approval will be forwarded to City Council.
Thank you, Ms. Lowe. Moving on to our first public hearing, case 16-170, a request by the Crossing EPC of Columbia, the owner, for approval of a CP development plan to be known as Lot 7, Red Oak South, plat number 1. The 0.75-acre subject site is located on the southeast corner of Grindstone Parkway and Grindstone Plaza Drive. May we have a staff report, please?
Yes, you may, Mr. Chairman. This is a relatively straightforward CP plan. This is Lot 7 of the Red Oak South development. They are looking at approval of a site plan on this CP-zoned property for a single identification sign. Site in context, if you all are unfamiliar with this particular area, the commercial center of Red Oak South is what you see immediately to the west. The building that is immediately to the west of that intersection is the Breaktime gas station, and then the multifamily building that you see immediately to the south of that is the Den, a student housing project. And then the large complex that you see immediately to the east is the Crossing Church property, which encompasses not only its main sanctuary facilities, but it also encompasses the Student Life Center and its academic wing, which is there on the western portion of the property. And immediately to the north is the Grindstone Walmart Center site, or on the north side of Grindstone Parkway. To the south, or to the lower portion of this picture, is a current a panoramic of the intersection that you see here in the aerial. And looking back at this angle, the currently vacant lot number 7, lot number 9 of the preliminary plat and the final plat is what the roadway connection is that you see here in the aerial and here on the actual photography. That roadway connection was a set-aside that was a requirement of the original Red Oak development to be offered to the Crossing Church as a secondary means of ingress and egress into the campus to alleviate traffic flow out onto Southland Drive, which is where one of the primary access points to the Crossings Church is located. They also have access out onto Rock Quarry, as well as a right-in, right-out only out onto Grindstone, just before the Rock Quarry intersection. It was seen at the time that the Red Oak South development was approved that this particular connection was a critically important one. And subsequent to the platting and then the dedication or purchase of Lot 9, the church came back and purchased Lot number 7 in order to allow the opportunity for them to control that lot and then to potentially have possibility to be able to have identification signage or other types of development placed upon it. It is a CP zone tract of land. It does have a set of land uses associated with it, but it does not have any specific signage limitations associated with it. So the sign that you see here on the graphic in front of you is consistent with what our C3 zoning standards would permit for a commercial development. We allow monument-style signage on commercial parcels no greater than 12 feet in height, no more than 64 square feet of sign area, which is not the brick facing that you see here. It's the actual wording and graphics that are on the actual sign itself, which constitute the sign area. So the sign is a 10-foot tall sign will have no more than 64 square feet of sign on it, which is consistent with our C3 zoning standards. And again, the CP statement of intent for Red Oak South did not have any signage limitations. Didn't say that you couldn't approve a site plan for just a sign. So that is why Lot 7 is coming in with a CP plan showing just a sign on it. So the site plan that you will be approving this evening, should you choose to do so, will basically look like this. Has a single sign sitting on it in this particular location, does not preclude the site from potentially being redeveloped at some point in the future. That is not the church's intent, to our knowledge. Though any CP development that would occur on this beyond the sign would require it to come back through the same process to approve a revised site plan. It would be considered a major amendment. The lot will be consolidated with the adjacent church property, and that is a critical element that you should be aware of. We do not allow off-premise advertising anywhere within the city of Columbia. So this sign specifically is dealing with the church's identification, and therefore, in order to legalize the sign, even though it's in a CP zoning district, you have to combine the sign's property with the church property. It will be a dual zone tract of land once the properties are combined. The church is actually sitting on A1 zone land right now, which is our agricultural classification. Churches are permitted there. And the CP zoning boundary will remain in place, but there won't be a property line that defines that boundary once the consolidation plat is approved. Once combined, the sign can be legally permitted as an on-site sign to the advertising that it's providing, which would be for the Crossing Church. So we are not at all objectionable to what is being proposed here. We believe it does provide additional wayfinding for the public to be able to get to the secondary access, which was viewed as being important. And it has now been improved, so we need to be able to direct traffic to its location, especially since it is a signalized intersection that is a better location than their current right-in, right-out only that is on Grindstone Parkway further to the east. We recommend approval of the CP plan, subject to the approval of the permit to build the sign not being released until such time as the plat combining the church property and Lot 7 has been approved. And that is an administrative plat. It will not come to the commission. If you have questions, I'll be more than happy to answer them.
Thank you, Mr. Zenner. Do we have any questions for staff? Mr. McMahon.
Director Zenner, after the replat, this is going to be one piece of property.
That is correct, with two zoning.
With part of this property that's not platted will be CP.
It is platted. The CP lot is platted today. We're combining two platted lots. The church lot was platted at the time that they did their most recent expansion, so the entire church boundary has been platted as a legal lot. So we are combining two legal lots together, which is considered an administrative action and legal. There's nothing within our regulations that precludes an individual from being able to join two differently zoned parcels. We generally do not, we generally frown upon that action. However, given that the ownership is the same in this particular instance and the need to not create an off-premise advertising sign, it is something that we will allow to occur. Split-zone property, which is what we would term this as after it's combined as one lot, is normally something that is more challenging to track, especially if you're in an area that is intending on being redeveloped. That's one reason why we frown upon combining split-zone parcels into a single lot. In this particular instance, given that this is for the church, church's purposes for being able to put the advertising signage to get wayfinding to the road that they've created, we do not see this as really the platting action as an issue, nor the split zoning, in the same light as we would if it were some other area.
Okay, thank you.
So to follow that, Mr. Moran's question, if the church decided that there was a better use for this site than their sign and they decided to sell it, then it would come back obviously through to us with the new ownership for a, or to split it off.
We would be re-subdividing the property at that point, and to re-subdivide the property and have a new development plan on it, that would require a final plat, yes. I would probably tell you that if the church wants to retain the ability to advertise on whatever monument-style sign or whatever signage that they place leave on this lot if it's redeveloped, we would probably advise them that they need to retain the ownership of it. Otherwise, you can't have your church sign on that property.
And my assumption was that the sign would go away, and you know they would
sell somebody it, would be rebuilding it for redevelop. Commercial use.
And under my assumption or scenario, then would the zoning there wouldn't be a little sliver left over of you know of CP the lot that they sold off, and then the A1. I mean. Because you lose that line, right? You lose that property line?
You will lose the property line that divides the A1 and the C1, or the CP, through the administrative combination plat. We would probably, if you came back to re-subdivide the property, we would require the property to be divided where the original lot line was. There would be no harm in, however, not having that property line overlapping of some nature. We probably see no reason for that, and I would imagine the church would not either. Why would they want a piece of CP that they could do nothing with?
Right.
And the sign's location is what the sign's location is. It's out on the corner. This particular tract of land, just in general, is an extremely challenging tract of land to develop, partially because of the environmental features that are up along its Grindstone Road or Grindstone Parkway frontage. With some stream buffer and some other environmental features that are on the front portion that you see in the hatched-in area. So it makes it a challenging site for development. It was a remnant parcel that could have a very small building on it. But obviously with the church acquiring the property, the small building could still be there. It could be a bookstore of some nature or something. But likely it would serve no value. It would serve value only to somebody that wanted to build a small retail business or some other business permitted. And the signage, if it's more important for the church to have wayfinding, is probably going to overshadow the need to sell the property for other purposes.
Any additional questions, Mr. Zinner? I see none. We'll go ahead and open up the public hearing. And anyone that would like to come forward to speak on this matter, please do. Just please give us your name and address.
Chairman and Commission, my name is Ron Shai, and I live at 5600 South Highway KK. To answer your question a little bit about the sign, I think it's the idea of the church purchasing this lot and putting the signage there is because there is a traffic light there, and that is going to be a very good situation for people to come to the church and exit the church. So. This is very straightforward. I do have the Director of Development here with me, Mr. Beatty, if you have any questions for the church particulars. But as far as a technical part of this, I'd be glad to try to answer any questions you might have.
Commissioners, any questions of Mr. Shai? I see none. So thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Yes. Anyone else like to come forward and speak on this matter? I see none. We'll go ahead and close the public hearing on this case. Commissioners, any discussion?
I'll make a motion.
Mrs. Burns, yes.
Case number 16-170, lot 7, Red Oak, South Platte, number 1. It's a development plan. It's a request by the Crossing EPC of Columbia. They're the owner for approval of a CP development plan to be known as lot 7, Red Oak, South Platte, number 1. It's a 0.75-acre subject site and is located on the southeast corner of Grindstone Parkway and Grindstone Plaza Drive.
Subject to filing of the plat.
Subject to filing of the plat.
Second.
Thank you, Mrs. Burns. Mr. Stanton seconds. I'll move on. We have a motion that has been made and second. Is there any questions or comments on this motion? I see none. Maybe we have a roll call, Mr. Secretary.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Burns.
Yes.
I vote yes. Mr. Harder?
Yes.
Mr. McMahon?
Yes.
Mr. Stanton?
Yes.
Mr. Strotman?
Yes, ma'am.
Ms. Rushing?
Yes.
Mr. Toohey?
Yes.
We have 8 votes for, 0 against. Motion carries. Recommendation for approval will be forwarded to City Council.
Thank you, Ms. Loeb. Moving on. case 16-171, a request by Cole and Associates, Inc., the applicant, for approval of a major amendment to an OP, which is Planned Office District Development Plan, to be known as Main Street Health and Wellness Suites. The 11.24-acre subject site is located on the north side of Berrywood Avenue, approximately 400 feet east of Portland Street. May we have a staff report, please?
Yes, you may, Mr. Chairman. We are looking at the formerly approved OP development plan site that we have referred to as the Berrywood site internally into the office for a similar development previously approved in 2008. This particular application is revising that originally approved development plan as well as it is revising the statement of intent. The oblique aerial here, just for context purposes, Berrywood is the street that this is fronting on, and the development that is immediately to the southeast or southwest of this particular site is Women's and Children's Hospital, just so you can see that, and then Woodridge Park is immediately to the south of this particular location. And to the west of the site, specifically on Berrywood, is obviously some office building development that we have out in that particular area. The lower picture is just the panoramic of the site as it exists today. It is a fully wooded tract of land. There were very significant restrictions as it related on land preservation on this site when it was originally approved in 2008, with a significant portion of the property being put into a conservation easement, and then significant buffers that were also established as part of that original development plan itself. To be specific, 2.7 acres of land was left in conservation initially in 2008, along with some more than significant and substantial buffers along the eastern portion of the property, which abuts the Woodridge subdivision development, which is what you see there as the single-family housing. So what we, as I have said, we are looking at a major revision to the 2008 approval. The proposed development plan is what you see here in front of you, and it is a much smaller building than what was originally proposed. And as you can see on your screens, the GFA in this building, the gross floor area, has been reduced from 250,000 square feet down to 50,000 square feet. Has gone from a four-story building to a single-story building, and then has increased the amount of tree preservation area that would be in that conservation easement from 2.7 acres to a total of four. This is not often that we see projects that come in for development plan approval reduced this significantly. This is somewhat specialized care, and this is an acute care facility. The applicant is here, and they will be able to give you better explanation of the specifics associated with it. The Silver Oak Senior Living Center was more akin probably to what we see with some of our other senior living facilities within town that would have been more of a CCRC-type concept. This is a post-acute care facility, so it's short-term, if I understand correctly, from what Mr. McIntyre explained to me. We have increased, not only decreased the impacts of the project as it's displayed here and increased preservation, but we have also increased the eastern setback on this property from what was originally shown in 2008 as a 59-foot setback to 117 feet, as well as they have provided significantly more supplemental landscaping along Berrywood, as you can see in the southern portion of this example. Or of this plan that they have provided than was originally shown or required. The one major change that has been made in the statement of intent revision deals with the reductions in the GFA and the height and then the increases in the tree preservation area is that an additional use has been added to the original statement of intent, and that is the incorporation of the CCRC, our Continuing Care Retirement Community, use. It's identified as an R3 permitted use on acreage greater than 10 acres. It offers an opportunity for a continuous spectrum of care to be offered throughout the site, meaning you could come in as an independent individual if you wanted at one point and move all the way through the spectrum of care to full skilled nursing care as you age in place. While that is not what the post-acute care facility is proposed to offer, it does better fit the CCRC model, and therefore the applicant chose to add this particular use in. Staff is not objectionable to it. The use would be, the post-acute care would be consistent with uses that are allowed in our CCRC, and it allows us then an opportunity, should there be a desire to change the configuration or the usage of the building in its square footage, an opportunity to have it reused without having to potentially go through a full-blown rezoning process in order to make modifications to accommodate possibly a different type of a care model that may be on the property itself. The plan meets all of our requirements for the OP standards, as well as it meets our zoning requirements. It has been reviewed by staff. Access has been evaluated, and it is supported as well. And the decreases and the increases in preservation area as well as landscaping are all consistent with some of the concerns that were expressed during the 2008 rezoning request and are supported by staff as well. We recommend approval of the plan and the changes to the statement of intent, and I'm available to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you, Mr. Zinner. Are there any questions of Mr. Zinner? I see none. We'll go ahead and open up the public hearing portion of this matter. If you would like to come forward and speak on this, please do.
Morning, good evening, Mr. Chairman and members of the Plan Commission. For the record, my name is Michael Klingel. I'm a development director with Main Street. Our offices are located at 14390 Clay Terrace Boulevard in Carmel, Illinois. I didn't want to necessarily add to any of the technical issues brought forth in the staff report, but we are here to answer any questions that you may have further. Instead, I wanted to use my time to identify or introduce Main Street to you and our mission and what a little bit more, add a little more clarity to what we're planning on doing with the property. Main Street was founded in 2002. Our primary mission is to transform lives. We do that by developing what we believe is the youngest and best designed post-acute care facilities in the system today. Our company was built on always challenging the status quo, always asking why not. Our CEO, Zeke Turner, when he started in this industry, finance and properties management realm in Wall Street, started to acquire nursing homes, the nursing homes that we know of today. And right away, the mission was formed there because he asked, why can't they be better than they are currently? Most of the stock out there today is anywhere from 25 to 40 years old. Obviously, many changes, many improvements have been made throughout the industry. And while some of those facilities choose to continue to upgrade their properties, a lot of them are not configured in a manner in which they can offer what the properties that we are developing offer. So from that standpoint, we are transforming lives through the way healthcare is being delivered today. We feel that the better people feel about their surroundings and the care that they're receiving in the manner they're receiving and the conditions that they're receiving it in is only going to help them to get better quicker. And that is the whole purpose for our facility. As the director said, we are a post-acute care facility. This is short-term and short-term only, not that people won't stay longer, but the average stay is going to be somewhere between 10 and 15 days. These are folks that are coming off of knee surgery, hip surgery, heart attacks, where the hospital will not allow them to, I shouldn't say the hospital, the insurance companies will not allow them to stay in the hospital any longer to receive that level of care because they've deemed them not needing that level of care. So they need to find someplace else because they can't go home and start living their lives again without getting their bearings done, their acuity, their dexterity, their sometimes there's speech issues that they have to work through in order to be able to go back home again. So we will be offering the post-acute care at our facilities. Main Street is the largest developer for post-acute care facilities in the system today. We have more than 25 properties already developed and operating, with an additional 13 more that we are looking to go under construction this year. That are currently under construction right now that are not open yet, with another 10, roughly 10 properties that will be going under construction before the end of the year. That is the model for next year is going to be another 15 to 20 as far as with the way we're looking at it. We are a substantial player in the market, and we are currently developing in 9 states. I believe that from a standpoint of what we've done, what we're proposing on this property, we've done right by the property itself. It is a fully wooded site, as you can see by the panoramic. We have tried to make our footprint as small as possible and preserve as much wooded area as possible. So by doing so, I think we've done right by the property, the community, for bringing the service, needed service to the community, and then to our neighbors adjacent. We've had 2 meetings with neighbors. One was an elected meeting where we invited neighbors and sent out invitations for them to come out and ask and inquire about what our property is going to be. And that happened a couple months ago, and then about a month ago, leading up to this meeting here, we met in the lobby with several interested residents and went through what we were proposing to do again. Seemed to be support from the neighborhood. We addressed as many concerns as we heard, although there weren't very many. And we continue to put our best foot forward from a standpoint of if there are additional concerns, we would like to address them. So with that, if there's any questions that you have technically, I do have my civil engineer here as well as my development consultant. So we're here for additional questions if you have any.
Thank you. Is there any questions for the speaker? Mr. McMahon.
Hi, how are you?
How you doing?
I'm great. Do you anticipate doing post-hospital procedures in the facility?
Not necessarily, no. This is not subacute. This is going to be post-acute. So there's not necessarily going to be any procedures being done. There'll be doctors that will be revisiting from the hospitals to see their patients possibly on a daily basis. There's not going to be any kind of hospital care.
How many beds does this facility have?
70 beds.
And number of employees?
Roughly ish. About 100 to 120 is generally what gets up.
And on a given shift level, how many folks are there?
You're going to probably see some of the largest shift in the morning, somewhere probably between 35 and 40, maybe 45. Similarly, the same number in the afternoon, and then of course over the evening time, it'll be more of a skeleton staff. And that's primarily the same kind of nursing employees will be there. It'll be the administrative staff and obviously the kitchen staff that won't be on site any longer.
You good? Any additional questions? I have a couple. Will Main Street, is Main Street the name of the company, correct?
That's the best.
Who will manage the facility?
We party with third-party operators, and currently the operator that's slated to partner with us on this is Aduro.
Okay. And you have other facilities with Duro?
We do.
Okay. Are you in other locations in Missouri? You mentioned, I think, 9 states.
This is the first location in Missouri. We are looking at 3 other locations currently, but we are in the neighboring state of Kansas, where we've got 7 facilities, 2 of which are still under construction. The other 5 are already operating.
Do you manage any of your own facilities?
We have not yet to this date. However, we broke ground on our first 2 in Arizona this year. And they are going online about the time that they started construction next year. It's about a 12-month construction cycle.
And those will be in-house, ran in-house?
Correct. And that basically going forward, we're going to be able to offer to our partners as well as ourselves, and to be able to continue to grow our network.
Who is typically your patient? Do you insurance related, or
it's Medicare? Yeah, it's definitely insurance related. Because again, that's kind of what's bringing them to us. They can't stay in the hospital any longer, but they can't really go home yet. So,
thank you, Ms. Lowe.
Just one final question on the 70 beds. Have you received the certificate of need for those beds?
Certificate of need has been received for this property. Yes.
Thank you, sir. Any additional speakers that have to come forward? I see none, so we'll close the public hearing. Commissioners, any additional questions or comments? You'd like to frame a motion, that'd be okay too. Ms. Lowe.
It is unusual to see downsizing of this measure, but given the conservation easement that was on the property, that it is next to an R1, I appreciate the downsizing. And it appears, based on the letter of support we saw in our package, and the comments that you made, one of my questions was going to be, have you met with the neighbors, that the neighborhood appears to support the project as it's moving forward. So I plan on supporting it as changed, as proposed.
Ms. Lowe, anybody else? Mr. Stanton.
I'd like to form a motion, sir.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
As it relates to case 16-171, Main Street Health and Wellness, revised development, OP revised development plan. I recommend approval of the revised OP development plan and associated statement of intent and design parameters.
Thank you, Mr. Stanton. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
We have a motion that's been made and also has been seconded. Any discussion on this motion? I see none. May we have a roll call, please, Ms. Secretary?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. So in case 16-171, Ms. Burns?
Yes.
I vote yes. Mr. Harder?
Yes.
Mr. McMahon?
Yes.
Mr. Stanton?
Yes.
Mr. Strotman?
Yes, ma'am.
Ms. Rushing?
Yes.
Mr. Toohey?
Yes.
We have 8 votes for, 0 against. Motion carries. Recommendation for approval will be forwarded to City Council.
Thank you, Ms. Lowe. Moving on, we have our last and final case, public hearing, case 16-172, a request by Crockett Engineering Consultants on behalf of Tompkins Homes and Development, Inc., the owner, to rezone 0.06 acres from R1 one family dwelling district to PUD2 planned unit development with an associated statement of intent, and for approval of a major amendment to the Barkus Ridge PUD development plan to accommodate a private street The 7.37 acres is located on the north side of Old Plank Road, approximately 700 feet west of Abbotsbury Lane. May we have a staff report, please?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you stated, this is a rezoning and a major amendment to a PUD plan. It's fairly straightforward, and I'll go through it briefly. It generally revolves around this little half circle here, and I'll touch on that here in a second. So this is kind of a broad aerial view of the site. As you can see, it's located on Old Plank Road, west of its intersection with Route K. The portion here, the larger portion, was part of an already previously approved PUD plan. The request is generally to rezone additional property to add to the existing development plan. And the purpose of that is to basically accommodate a revised private street location. This is the original plan. This is the original design for their private street that came into the site. The applicant has indicated that during final engineering, it was determined that the grades for the private street could not accommodate the design. So they would have to locate the street off-site. So what they're required to do at that point, since that private street is a part of the PUD, they would need to acquire the property, rezone it to PUD, and then incorporate it into the development plan. And that is the request that we're considering tonight. So they're basically rezoning this 0.06 acre piece from R1 to PUD 2, amend the plan then at that point to increase it from 7.3 acres to 7.36 acres. So that would basically accommodate and incorporate this piece into the overall plan. The statement of intent, we'd adopt a new one for the whole site, but it would be almost exactly the same as the one that there is currently. Density would not increase or change at all. Number of dwelling units is not changing. Open space minimums is not changing. A couple of the other minor things that are changing with the plan that I'll point out, the location of the lots have been moved north a little farther away from the old plank, and also the sidewalk, also due to the grades, has been kind of moved on site, but they're required to grant a public sidewalk easement over that so that it is accessible to the public. So that is generally what the request is. So staff is recommending approval of the rezoning and the amendment to the PUD plan, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any questions of staff? I've got a quick one. So this little 0.06 acres was not part of the original site. It was another owner, owned by another individual, and
correct.
It was acquired to accommodate this.
Yeah, conveniently, it's the same property owner that owns this site and the one okay. to the north, the same developer. Okay. This was all part of a larger Barkus Ridge plat at some point. So I believe it's the exact same owner, maybe different LLCs, but it's the same ownership group. So they will be required to replat this lot and the other lot to maintain the legal lot status of all the lots involved. So.
Thank you. Any additional questions? With that, we'll go ahead and open this public hearing to the public. And if anybody would like to come forward, we would welcome that.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the commission. My name is Andy Green with Crockett Engineering, 2608 North Stadium Boulevard. I'm here representing Tompkins Homes and Development. Mr. Smith previewed this request, very straightforward. During final design of this road, conflicts with the existing gas line. There were a couple of joints in the gas line, and the gas company wouldn't allow that, and so we had to shift our road to basically encroach onto the other property. We're asking for rezoning of this and then basically combining this to a new revised PUD plan. And pretty straightforward request, and here to happy to answer any questions you guys have.
Are there any questions of the speaker? So it wasn't as much as a topography matter as it was a gas line?
Initially, the road, during the first site plan submittal, it was all actually on the 7.3 acre piece. We came back and initially we were thinking the gas company gave us some forward thinking as we could put the road where we wanted to and they wouldn't have any conflicts. But upon further design and analysis of the gas line, there are a couple of joints there, and I guess those are special precautions need to take place, and you can't put a road over them. So we had to shift it and get it out of their way. So,
Thank you for that. Yes, I see maybe a question over in
the... I apologize. I think I said grading was the issue. I think I did write in the report that it was the gas line conflict was the issue. I was thinking of the sidewalk when I said grades. I apologize.
Any additional questions for the speaker? Thank you, Mr. Green.
Thank you.
Any additional speakers or anybody else would like to come forward? I see none. We'll close the public hearing. Commissioners, any comments, questions, motions?
This one seems very straightforward, as has been observed already. So I think we should just go ahead with a motion if no one has any comments.
Good. Go.
To move to approve case 16-172. The wrong slide up. Recommendation to approve the requested rezoning from R1 to PUD2 with the associated statement of intent and approve the revised development plan for the Barkus Ridge PUD.
Thank you, Ms. Lowe, for that motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Mr. Stanton, sounds like he was a little closer, so I'll give you the motion, the second. We've had a motion has been placed on the floor, and a second has been received. Do we have any questions on this motion? I see none. May we have a roll call, please, Ms. Lowe?
Yes. Case 16-172. Ms. Burns?
Yes.
I vote yes. Mr. Harder?
Yes.
Mr. McMahon?
Yes.
Mr. Stanton?
Yes.
Mr. Strompman?
Yes, ma'am.
Ms. Rushing?
Yes.
And Mr. Toohey?
Yes.
We have 8 votes for, 0 against. Motion carries. Recommendation for approval will be forwarded to City Council.
Thank you, Ms. Lowe. Mr. Green, appreciate you coming. We don't typically get to see other people besides Mr. Crockett, so we appreciate that. Comments of the public. Is there anyone in the public that would like to... give us any other comments? I see none. Comments from the staff, Mr. Zinner.
Well, your next meeting will be September 22nd, and it will be at 7 p.m. We do have a regular work session, and that will be at 5:30. We will not have any special meetings that week, so it's just a regular P&Z meeting, 5:30 and 7 p.m. Your agenda, however, for September 22nd is very busy. You will notice we have 3 subdivision actions, Creek's Edge, plat number 2. This is a preliminary, the Mattingly subdivision, one-lot final plat, and then the Sigma Nu fraternity, again, another one-lot final plat. We'll have the public hearing, hopefully, for the Ridgemont Park PUD on this agenda, the one we tabled today. A rezoning request at 1201 North College Avenue. This is to combine correct a zoning inaccuracy with an existing building that is on the property, and you'll see that in the locator map here. And then we have lots that are on either side of our Lynn Street Cottages project, the City of Columbia's Lynn Street Cottages project, that are currently zoned CP, seeking to be rezoned, I believe, to PUD to be added to our Lynn Street Cottages development. And then we will have a combined hearing, and I believe I had indicated this to you previously, that we have received the Breckenridge Park annexation and permanent zoning request and the preliminary plat. That will be a combined public hearing subdivision item on the agenda. And just to familiarize everybody with where we are talking about all of these projects, the Creek Ridge plat number 2, subdivision plat, is south of the existing Creek Ridge 1, which is off of Old Plank Road, and Bethel, which is just to the east off of the map. You have the Mattingly subdivision, this one lot plat that is being brought forward, and not quite sure why we're platting it at this point. It may be part of a need for some type of building or construction approval. You have our Sigma Nu fraternity parcel. This was a former fraternity that was torn down. The rear lot, which you see, was an annex parcel. The annex has been removed, and they are desiring to reconstruct a new fraternity home on the property, and their parking was proposed initially to be where the annex lot was. As part of the site plan review process, we indicated that they could not have off-site parking in an R3 zoning district. Therefore, they were required to submit a final plat to bring the property together under a single lot. The Ridgemont Park rezoning request, which you have seen that plat or that layout tonight, that is at College Park, Ridgemont, and just east of Ridgefield. The North College Avenue rezoning request, as you can see here, we have R2 to the south. You have C3 to the north. That is a commercially used correct office today. It is not seeking to go to C3. If I recall correctly, I believe that is a C1 application in order to accommodate the office use that is the office or the commercial use that is on the property. I don't have the specifics, but that is why this request is being presented. It's to try to conform the zoning to the actual use of the property today along the College Boulevard frontage there just south of the business loop. And then our Lynn Street Cottages project, which my recollection serves me correctly, I've got too many mice on my table here. The Lynn Street Cottage project is here in the middle. This is our Community Development Land Trust project that we are doing. You have seen this previously. It was a PUD for four cottage-style houses. These two parcels we have recently acquired, and we are seeking to, I believe, have them merged into the overall project in order to expand the cottage concept that we are looking at with our land trust. And then, last but not least, our Breckenridge rezoning or annexation and then preliminary plat request. One thing I will point out with this particular project, while the annexation acreage has not changed any, the zoning requested has. This is all now a single R1 proposed annexation. There is no planned unit development associated with it, so this is a standard single-family lotted subdivision, and that is what the preliminary plat will show. There has been some significant conversation with the adjacent property owners, and as far as I know at this point, we believe they are in support of the project. We are still working through our staff review comments at this point, and we'll have that final report available before meeting on the 22nd. But early indications would indicate that a number of the issues associated with the project's densities and its configuration with sinkholes and a variety of other things, most of that has been addressed. And the roadway connection and construction issues with the extension of Smith have been dealt with also within the plat. The Smith will not be shown on the plat as being extended through the site. Broadway will be for the right-of-way at least. And Mr. Smith will overview all of that when you have the staff report in front of you. Another one of these complex and multi-parted projects. That is the agenda for the 22nd. Just as a reminder to the Planning Commission and to the public, we have one last special Planning Commission work session to discuss the UDO-related issues and comments spreadsheet, as well as to share with the Commission several of the revisions that we have made or will be making as a result of the conversations that we have had over the last what seems to be about 2 months, if I recall correctly, and that the final public hearing draft of the Unified Development Code will be being released on the 26th of September, which is the Monday following the 22nd's Planning and Zoning Commission meeting. We will be having discussion of the UDO at the 22nd's work session as well. So if there are any loose ends that we need to tie up before we finalize that draft or that we need to be working on as the draft is out for public review prior to the public hearing, we will be able to be aware of that. Public hearing for the UDO is scheduled for 6 p.m. on October 20th, and that public hearing will not have a time limit associated with it. We will hopefully be able to take public comment until the public has ceased to give any more and then have the commission act upon the document as they so choose. We are nearing the end, and the train light is not what is going to hit us. It is the completion of this relatively massive project that we have all been diligently working on. I know you will be glad, and I will be glad as a staff member, and my staff will be as well. That is all we have to offer for you tonight. Thank you very much for your attention.
Any comments from the commission? Mr. Zinner, on the 26th of September, when the final draft comes out, will we be notified, or we just need to check the public need to just check the website to find that document, or is there a 3 p.m.?
Put
on the spot.
I'm going to buy a banner plane and we'll fly it, just so the community knows, and then we'll have smoke signals coming from City Hall. No, we will likely notify through our planning and development listserv that the document has been posted, along with the link that the document can be obtained from. The size of this document is such that it cannot actually be emailed. It is too large. So what we will do is it will be available under our planning and development code update page, where all of our documentation up to this point has been located. It will be available in the public library at the reference counter, which is where we currently have the November version of the document, or I should say October 2015 version, and then the May version, which we went through as a part of the precursor to our special work sessions. We will retract both the October 15 and the May 16 versions from the library. And then we will likely replace that with probably two copies of the final public hearing draft document for the public to review, and it will be available online. What I will probably suggest at this point is that the online version will have greater searchability within it. It will be a PDF document. It will not be a Word document, so through a simple Control F, you can do search parameters for particular keywords and be able to identify things within the document that way. So I would advise the public, if they're interested, to be able to review the document, to review it online. Some don't like reading online, but we will not be producing printed copies for the public due to the scale of the document.
And do you anticipate, Mr. Zinner, that that document will be complete?
We believe that it will be fully complete. I'm not going to guarantee that we will not have particular cleanup items that we may need to be making some tweaks to, that through our discussions, through the special work sessions, that we have potentially not been able to fully resolve at this point. We will have shelled out those areas that I believe we can identify within the document through side margin note that may be under further development. I have been asked by a number of our consultants, as it relates to Appendix A or the administrative manual document, it's referred to in both instances in the development code right now as Appendix A or the admin manual. We are in the process of finalizing up the pieces of that, and I believe all of those pieces should be fully integrated. Now, they may not be in the final format of what we would like for the public hearing, but the components of the actual administrative manual, all of the pieces of what should be there will be there. That is my understanding with our staff as they've been working on it.
Thank you. Mr. McMahon.
Just a quick question for Director Zinner. The administrative manual will hopefully be searchable also?
Yes, it will be a separate, and just for the public's knowledge, as well as just to remind the commissioners, the administrative manual will not be, while it will be presented as part of the Unified Development Ordinance, it will not be codified as part of the Unified Development Ordinance. The only part, it will be an administrative manual outside of the codified code. Part of the purpose behind that, as we have discussed previously, is to allow for advancements come with particular components of our application process or possibly regulatory other best management practices. We would like to be able to have the ability to amend that code or amend the manual without going through a regulatory approval, reapproval process. That does not mean, and I want to stress, that does not mean that if we are making a manual change, that our partners that we work with, the development community, would not be aware of those types of changes. Often what we see, we make application change requirements quite frequently right now to address new things that have come up in varying departments in their capacities of review that we sometimes have to modify. If you put those type of conditions within the codified ordinance, every time we have to do that, we theoretically would have to go through the process of amending the code. We would like to avoid that. So that is, it will be separate, searchable, and they are going to be cross-referenced between wherever we have a reference in the UDO itself that refers to an administrative manual, it is going to be titled a particular title, and then we will have reference to that so people can reach it. Again, the size of the document and some of the complexities associated with it are what we're still working through. We're dealing with particular aspects also of how elements of the code are being addressed by our law department as they relate to some legal matters. So some of the format of the document may be slightly different than how it was presented from May to July due to some of those legal-related matters. So we don't want the public to think that we're doing a bait and switch with the document. Some things may not be in the same location that they saw, but we will try to make clear enough reference in the document so people know where we've moved particular things to or from. And that is really our goal is right now to make sure that the document that the public sees is the document that they were accustomed to through the May submission process. But we realize we want to try to set the document up for ordinance processing purposes, and that may require some adjustments to particular section and textual groupings just to basically prepare for that. The effort of trying to prepare the ordinance document is, while not as challenging a process as it is right now for us to compile the document, it's still going to be a lengthy process, and our law department is asking for that. They're asking for enough time to be able to do that appropriately, not being rushed. So, you know, October will come around a lot faster than we all think.
Thank you.
Any additional comments, commissioners? I see none.
Yes, sir.
Not used to these types of meetings. My name is Marty Katz. I live at 1304 Field Crest. And considering the fullness of your agenda next time, there's considerable neighborhood opposition to the proposed Ridgemont Park PUD. And I was wondering if we'll be limited on time that we'll have to present just so I can inform my colleagues of, you know, so we can plan.
We've not had that discussion with the staff yet as to the formalities of it, but if there is a formal opposition, then that the formal organization will have a more time to speak than the individuals outside of that group. So we'll have that conversation with staff and be able to allow ample time.
Yeah, we're just a group of individuals, but we're working together, and we can coordinate our efforts to make things more efficient. I know you know, I see you presented the agenda. You've got an awful lot, and you don't want to be here all night, so.
I would suggest that you get in contact with Mr. Zinner tomorrow or next week as soon as you can, and just let him be aware and make sure that he is aware. And if you have any documentation that you would like to forward to him, then he will also pass all that information on to us.
Okay.
So he would kind of be your funnel for information as well as to us. But please utilize him, and then he can instruct you if there's anything outside of the normal
okay.
process.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yes. Look forward to seeing you next the 22nd.
I'd also like to add before we wrap up, the September 22nd meeting is actually your officer elections as well. So we will take care of that during the work session. So give some thought to who you may or who you may like as your leadership. And prepared to vote. We will have the voting ballots, as we have done in the past, for that election. And as it relates, if I may, Mr. Chairman, in order to save a phone call, the standard practice for public engagement is generally 6 minutes. Organized opposition normally will get 10, and each subsequent speaker has 3 minutes to speak. So if you have a speaker that will be leading up your organized opposition, that individual can speak up to 10 minutes. They could yield a portion of that 10 minutes to other speakers, and anybody other than your organized opposition would have 3. So if you have a single leader, that leader could speak for that period of time. Yes, and if you do have a slide presentation, please show up at about 5:15 on the 22nd so our AV staff can load that up onto the laptop for you. And just bring it in on a stick, and they'll a memory stick, and they'll be able to take care of it for you. No need to send it to us in advance unless you have written comments that you'd like the commission to see prior to the meeting. And if you do have any written documentation, if you will bring enough copies for the commissioners, total of 9.
So just come back to this room a little before the meeting so they can load your presentation up. Thank you. Commissioners, any additional comments? No? Motion for adjournment?
I'll move to adjourn.
Yes, Ms. Lowe. Second, Mr. Stanton. All in favor, thumbs up. Everyone have a nice evening, and we'll see everyone next Wednesday at 6 p.m.